Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, we are now into the power hour of the show. The last power hour of the Locker Room season. You know, it's a little bit of a bittersweet moment here, Wolf, to know that we have less than an hour left together on the airwaves.
I'm feeling verklempt, a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, I know. I'm schwitzing over here. Who's cutting onions? Who is cutting onions?
Doggone it all. I hate when that happens.
Gosh, man. No.
What are you guys kidding? You're like fist pumping every break. Like, yeah, one less segment to go.
Excuse me. Not everybody needs to know how the sausage is made, Wes. This is dramatization of radio. Can't believe that you would do that. So dastardly.
Just nailed us.
Traitor.
Man.
Traitor.
Benedict Arnold in the building.
Exactly. Shame. Where's a woman from Game of Thrones walking around with the bell through the square? Shame.
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 Exactly. Well, now, was that a great show, Mr. Instantly picking up?
Oh, outstanding. Now, I know the ending wasn't the greatest, but then again, isn't that what we always complain about with TV shows and movies? But yeah, Game of Thrones, 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because it was definitely a 12 up until that last season.
Yes, and real quick, Max, I got to, not to go on a complete, squirrel here, but it is the last day of school. I went back and rewatched Game of Thrones like last year, and the ending I don't think was as terrible as we all made it out to be in real time. I'm still not saying it was good or great, but I think a lot of people were like, oh, it ruins the show. I don't know if it was that bad.
What ruined the show?
Yeah, nah.
What happened?
No, they kind of rushed some stuff that probably could have been carried out a little bit better, I think is what they did.
Yeah.
They kind of sped up the Arya scene.
Correct.
Up there in the north. I can't remember.
Everything with the White Walkers and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That culmination, and then of course, with Daenerys, and Jon Snow, how that kind of was like a quick, cold, heartless murder, and then they fast forwarded at the end of it. Anywho, I don't want to ruin it for people that may or may binge watch it. If you have not binge watched it yet, shame on you. But it was more so about the speed and not taking and drawing it out. I think people wanted it to be drawn out a little bit more, but it was also, now I'm blanking on his name. Who wrote the books?
George R. R. Martin. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. How he didn't finish the last book. And so,
right.
And so the TV show writers, took some liberties and they tried to craft how they believed it was going to happen from what he had already done. And then they were just kind of throwing darts in the dark as far as how the ending was going to go. And so people were upset about that. But,
yeah.
I mean, listen, if I invested almost a decade of my life into it, which I did, I would want it to be a little bit better breakup at the end of the year.
No doubt. I'll tell you what, though, some of those middle seasons are just some of the best television you'll ever watch in your life. Incredible.
Gosh, man, I mean, listen, nothing, the Red Wedding still, to this day, one of the most fantastic gory, shocking like episodes in television history. I mean, that was absolutely priceless, especially on a first watch, and you have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, yes, the book readers would have known
sure
how it was going to happen, but to see it played out in live action, I mean, my goodness.
Well, what's better, the book or the movie?
The book is more in depth. I mean, now granted, there's about 747 more characters in it than
wow
the show.
Yes,
okay.
But no, I mean the show carried to the book to a T of what was mm-hmm written, but they just didn't have all the names and the little sub characters that the book has, because obviously you have more liberty when you have a page versus screen time and actors that you must pay for time mm-hmm for time spent. But no, I mean both of them I would say were equally fantastic when they were going apples to apples in that moment.
Apples to apples, you say?
No oranges around here.
No cider though.
No
oranges. Huh? No cider?
No cider. No cider. Now listen, you could take apples and make apple cider. I mean, you know, that's all about fermentation, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's still got an apple-y flavor.
You know what was amazing for me was when we took the family over to see Kyle Jacob when he was stationed in Germany. So we were in we were down in the Bavaria area where Kyle was at. He was living in a town called Weiden in Germany there. And anyhow, we went to see Neuenstein Castle, which is, of course, Walt Disney's inspiration for Cinderella's castle.
Yes.
And it was, I got to tell you something, that was the most magnificent thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, if you want to talk about high-quality castleization there, I mean, you got a castle sitting just outside the walls. It's on top of a mountain. There's a canyon like 300 feet deep down along the river there. You know, I mean, that thing was spectacular. And it was the king of Bavaria. I forgot what the guy's name was. But it was amazing because they built that thing over almost 20 years. He went, the king had to borrow money to finish that castle. Such was it was so resplendent. And it's amazing because he must have gotten in with some of the mafia guys or something, because next thing you know, they find the king of Bavaria floating in the lake in 3 feet of water with his personal physician when he was known to be a very excellent swimmer. How about that one?
Yeah, that sounds a little how do we say fishy. No pun intended, the fact that he drowned. But yeah, I mean, when you look at that, I mean, and like you said, I mean, that castle is absolutely stunning, and you know, like you said, it was all the talk of medieval architecture.
Oh yeah. Just ripping it.
Yeah, but it is amazing how people did things. I mean, without modern machinery, right? You don't have dump trucks bringing up rock and the concrete truck. Like, you're mixing everything on site.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a pretty much a dug hole. And, you know, you're a bricklayer. It's not like you have safety harnesses, you know what I'm saying, and contraptions
right
hang out the side of the mountain to start building these walls. So, you know, the ingenuity of the resources available to still create something that's still standing today, hundreds of years later. I mean, it's pretty sweet.
You know, the amazing thing to me was through the resplendency of this castle, which, again, you know, they started allowing visitors to come and, you know, because he had to repay the bill somehow. So after the king passed away, or they found him floating, you know, they started to allow, you know, people come in and, you know, you pay and you can, you know, check out the castle. And the thing was, we go walking into the throne room and there's no throne. They had not finished his throne, the king's throne. So, you know, where it would sit, it sends up these steps and everything. There's no throne.
Yeah.
It was just like, wow. Just
but
amazing.
There is an Auntie Anne's pretzel stand there selling Bavarian pretzels.
Well, there's a music room like
Häagen-Dazs around the corner.
Häagen-Dazs, yes.
Yeah, Häagen-Dazs. Yeah, hey, listen.
Häagen-Dazs.
Want some vanilla?
Exactly. Hey, listen. I will never knock Häagen-Dazs because guess what? They were at the Alamo. Okay, guys? Remember that.
Oh, that's right.
Remember the Alamo.
Remember the
Alamo. Alamo. Yeah. It was delicious. It was delicious looking at the Alamo while having an Alamo Sunday. It was priceless. So I could definitely do that. Hey, listen, I'm not too proud to eat a Haagen-Dazs while looking at the while looking at the castle. I've done crazier things.
I can tell you it was spectacular to walk around that castle, though. I mean, I just never seen anything like that in my life. You know, and the thing about it was the king only spent, I think it was like less than 50 or 60 nights in that castle before he passed, or he was found floating.
Yeah, he was swimming with the fishes.
Yeah. Yeah.
No cinder blocks tied around his ankles, right?
Not that I know of, but, you know, even though he was 6'4" and he's in 3 feet of water, known to be an excellent swimmer with his personal physician, and they find him floating in the lake. I'm just saying, it just sounds like a little, like you said, a little fishy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little nuts out there. But the squirrels have taken over. Yeah, they have. But I mean, hey, this is opening hour. Just like the opening, you know, salvo of the show.
That's true.
We have that liberty to do this since this is our final show. We can choose our own directions. We can guide our own path here.
Before they kick us out.
Yeah, before they actually kick us out. Here's a question, Wolf.
Yes.
I'll have an even better one to end the show on that segment. But, you know, I just want to talk about this. What does February for Craig Wolfley look like?
Oh, man. What is that? February. Well, I'm going to have to start taking a serious look at weight loss.
Okay.
I think, you know, it's just.
They have magazines and websites for that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start movement-oriented, put your fork down type of movements to recapture a sub-300-pound weight.
Okay.
I think that's first on the drawing board.
Got to start somewhere. Listen, Faith, I concur with you. But that's going to be the same thing with me. I mean, I've been kind of kick-starting it the last couple of weeks, trying to get myself in a regular routine.
Yes.
Because that's going to be huge. Like, now that I'll have my mornings available, you know, I'll start riding my bike again.
Right.
The weather is pretty temperate enough that, you know, I can do that. Now, it did rain like for 5 hours last night. It's going to rain
really
today in AZ. Yeah.
Is this so? When's the monsoon season? I'm sorry.
Monsoon's not till summer.
Okay.
Not until August. We'll be in training camp when it's monsoon season, which is nice for me.
You know what I just read, though, about California? They got the pineapple, what do they call it, the Pineapple Express weather system coming in. They're going to dump 27 times the water in the Mississippi River, 27 times that amount on California and the West Coast and stuff like that. Are you kidding me with snow, with rain, and all that stuff? But I'm like going, wow, that's what they're saying.
Can they retain it so they can give us back the Colorado River here in Arizona?
Yeah, really.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. You kind of need that.
You guys got an opportunity. But I did see this, the L.A. Reservoir. Did you know this, Wolf?
No.
The L.A. Reservoir, they use these, like, black floaty balls. They almost look like ball pit balls.
Okay.
And they put them in the reservoir to cover the water there. And it prevents evaporation, also prevents contamination, like birds and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But they use that, and it's like it's the craziest thing. But they use that to try and help with curbing that. So I'm like, do you really need those now if you're about to have all that rain dropped on you? Can you pull the balls back? I don't know if you can, but it's like millions of balls.
I mean, yeah, it's like ridiculous.
You have to look at it. If you look up like LA Reservoir,
where do they get their water from? The mountains over there? Is it the Sierra Nevadas?
Yeah, and it was a big fight with them in Arizona about the Colorado River.
Okay.
Because it runs through both states, but obviously we're the lower part of that one.
Right.
So they could dam it off and restrict our flow of water. Which they have done, because it's like, we have more people than you. It's like, nah, ours get hotter faster. but, you know, that's always been a big debate point. So when you're talking about that's pretty crazy how much water is going to get dumped on there. And, you know, we get a byproduct of it. If this was any indication of what happened, like rolled in last night around 9 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and I mean went till about 5 a.m., 4 a.m.
Wow,
because I definitely heard rain throughout the night. I was like, wait, what is that? Oh, it's what is raining? Wow.
You know, the thing,
can't see it because it's dark out, but yeah.
The thing that was amazing was when the good lady Faith and I, we took the kids down to the Grand Canyon, went down and up. You know, you get to the bottom, that's the Colorado River there, right? I mean, that's where you're at, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just making sure that I'm geographically correct, you know, for the sake of journalistic integrity.
Listen, as long as you didn't try and give me the distance that the Colorado River covers and how much your ascent was, which is numbers and math. I'm rolling with you, Craig. I mean, you're pretty good there.
But I will tell you, that was absolutely magnificent. All that stuff, man, that was so cool.
Yeah.
You know, and the best part was
it's a beautiful natural wonder.
Oh, it is. Right? When you get to the bottom, Indian Garden, John Cole pulled off his hiking boots and he says, "Man, I'm putting my feet in the ice cold river," and he did that. So I sat down next to him too. So we're sitting there with our feet in the water. You know, I mean, my wife at Faith was like, going, "Honey, you better do this because you're like, you know, my feet were just like killing me at the bottom there. You get them all iced up, I was fine." But man, that was nice.
Little contrast back.
Yeah,
right?
That's what it was. A little cryo.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that little cryotherapy for the Tootsies before you had to walk back up.
Oh yeah, yeah. I couldn't find a mule.
Yeah. I don't think that mule would have taken the job.
No lift there with the mule.
Yeah, he would have been like, "Well, we're just staying here, bud. He's just gonna look at you."
Yeah, we ain't going nowhere. Right. I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, go put your feet back in the water. This is gonna be a while.
I ain't moving.
Yeah, in fact, the donkey comes, sits right next to you, and puts his hoofs in.
he just stands there in the river. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Just making eye contact the whole time, not breaking eye contact. But, you know, I got to do another natural wonder because I didn't make it all the way down the Grand Canyon. I only did halfway and then back up.
You only did half? Come on.
Well, it was also at the time, I mean, my wife was pregnant. It was the summer. Yeah.
Okay. You know,
we were just trying to give our nephew a trip. It was a day trip, up the same day, back down.
Gotcha.
Back home. So yeah. But, we did 2.5 miles, I mean, total. That's still pretty good.
That is good because coming up is really not fun.
Yeah, no, it was. That was a very daunting path to come back up. But you know, but another one I did Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe.
Ooh, wow!
And that is
huge, right?
Oh my goodness! I mean, the waterfall. It's like it goes down and then it like makes a hard left and hooks around. I mean, it is just
really
spectacular, the amount of water that is coming down this waterfall. And when you go, because you could go up top because it's the Zambezi River right there,
okay,
that dumps off into it, and you're in Livingston. And, you know, they actually had this thing. They're like, well, when the water level's down a little bit, you could actually take this line out towards the edge and sit in this area that they call the Devil's Bath.
Oh.
And it's like this oyster-shaped, like kind of natural rock thing where you can sit down at the edge of the waterfalls and look over.
No. Did you do it?
And I was like, oh, absolutely not.
How stupid you got to be. Let's see. Yeah, we're exactly. Both over 300 pounds. What, are we going to go sit there on the edge?
Yeah. And it's like I got this thin rope that I'm supposed to carry out. What's that rope going to do if I decide to slip or fall? And now I'm hanging on to this little tiny rope.
It's a clothesline.
Snap at any moment. Yeah, no. So, no, we went up to the water's edge and kind of looked off. And then you walk down like this flat, stairwell. And you can walk on a lower level that then takes you across and around the falls. It's a national park. And
right.
You can see the waterfall, you know, across the way. So you get the height perspective of
sure.
it. So we did that. But, I mean, because we were staying right up the river at the hotel there. I think it was actually called the Hotel Livingston. And it's right there along the national park path. So it was really cool. A lot of monkeys.
Livingston.
A lot of rude.
Is that monkeys, named after the British explorer, Dr. Livingston?
Correct.
I presume. Ah.
Yes. named after him. So yeah, so he has a city in Zimbabwe, and that was Zambia. I apologize.
Okay,
Zambia was the country, not Zimbabwe.
Okay.
I went to Zimbabwe after
that, but
Zambia is where we stayed. Sorry, no. Zambia, Livingston, Zambia, and it was the Zambezi River. There we go.
That's a lot of Z's.
Yes, yes. The oft overlooked end of the alphabet got a lot of use during my time there.
Okay.
But the monkeys were rude, though. The monkeys were pretty rude. I mean, they walk up to you, they snatch your food from you, and like a gang of them, so they dare you.
Oh.
They dare you to come back and get what's yours.
Oh, yeah. A gang of monkeys. Watch out.
Yeah, it's like the movie Rio, where the monkeys steal all the shiny objects. That's the same thing. And so they give you this whole speech when you get to the room. Don't leave your back, glass lighting patio door open, because the monkeys will come in and they'll steal your stuff. What? Some monkey kleptomaniacs out there?
Everyone knows monkeys love iPhones, Max. All right.
exactly. Nobody loves a good selfie better than, an orangutan, right? Oh my God. Well, all right. Hey, we've jumped off. Okay, so I'm gonna steer us back into a break so that you can take us back on. You can take the stern of this ship, my friend. We'll be back with more inside the locker room here on Pittsburgh, Fox Sports Pittsburgh, and SNR Radio.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And I do know this, Max. There's been a lot of controversy, of course, talking about Arthur Smith, signing him and everything else. And I think I just say the Steelers Nation, give him a chance. Let's give him a chance. Get Zooks. This is the final broadcast before, as we go into offseason here. But back around OTAs, you're going to get an idea of how this is going to shape up. But I put on some film the other day, just been kind of deep diving him a little bit. When I look at this guy, and like I said, it's Mike Mularkey with a mustache. It's really fist-in-your-face football, smash mouth with a touch of effervescence because you got some gadgetration. If anybody remembers Derrick Henry throwing the old pop tight end, pass over the middle at the goal line, that little pop pass there, that's good gadgetration. But you see a lot of things. I made some notes while I'm watching game film the other day, right? So two things. Effort and finish is something that he's always talking about, that being Arthur Smith. And I made a note to myself. Tell the wide receivers to buckle up with a notation of might need two chin straps.
Hey, listen. Whatever it takes, right? If you're going to establish a mentality, if you're going to come in and try and create a philosophy, sometimes you have to do it physically. It's one thing to talk about it in the classroom. It's one thing to look at a resume. It's another thing to go carry it out, right, Wolf? I mean,
no
that's
question.
Essentially what it is. And if you want to be a smash mouth team, guess what? You got to go smash mouths. got to go punch them directly in it. And like you said, DBs, strap up. You might need 6 points of contact on that chin strap. Don't just rely on that little underhook and little Velcro-y type of deal on the sides. It's like, no, we need old school bolt in. I need to be able to just tighten it up a little bit and clench the teeth, because that's the type of approach you're probably going to get in mentality with Arthur Smith. I know a lot of guys have come out over recent years that played for him and been around him, and like you said, had nothing but great things to say about him. But here's the thing, how do you make orange juice? You got to squeeze some grapes.
Yep.
Got to do that. Oh, I'm sorry. Got to squeeze some oranges. I say grapes. Geez. Yeah.
It made perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But you do. If you want orange juice, you got to squeeze some oranges. If you want wine, you got to squeeze grapes. So I'm intrigued to see how this is going to look, and then I wonder the emphasis is in practice. Wonder if that five shot changes a little bit as opposed to being 11 personnel spread stuff.
Let me give you a couple of this. That. This is what I saw out of. He had the least amount of 11 personnel in the league, okay? But he ran a lot, top five in 12 and 13 personnel and 21 and 22 personnel. Ooh la la, I like the sounds of that.
Yeah, anytime you see a two either in the front or the back end of the formation type, that's a good day.
It is a good day. Right there. Yes. You know, you got fullbacks. Okay, so what I want to say is, Connor Hayward, get yourself sponsored by Omaha Steaks, okay? Start beefing up, man. Get on the squat rack. Get yourself 500, 550 on the back. Go up and down several times, and you'll have the squatations and the ham hocks to go out there and squash people on ISOs because you got ISO leads. You got some I formation stuff. You got some really good cooking that I think Connor would be perfect for it because he's got the skill level of a tight end as far as pass catching, and he's also got the ability to go up there and slam the rock, whether it would be a run or not. He's not going to run much, not obviously, but the threat is there. And then at the same time, you know, Connor can he can drill somebody. You know, he's not afraid to put his chin in some other guy's chin. So I like this. Now I'm thinking Connor Hayward. Man, I'm thinking I like this.
Well, and I think you have to be excited about it. Well, I mean, you know, I was going to actually pose you this question.
Okay.
Do we see Derek Watt come back?
Woo. Woo. Yeah. Wow. That's
do you bring him back in?
Wow.
It's not like he's been doing anything. Except for attending like his brother's, you know, Ring of Honor ceremony down in Houston.
Right.
And kind of just being that. You wonder if you call him back up now that you have a new coach and a new philosophy. Because remember, he was there. It's just he was so vastly underutilized in the offensive portion. Now, he was obviously a core four special teams guy. But do you bring him back because you want to be able to run, you know, some 21 and some 22 personnel?
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. Here's another one for you. You know, that's good food for thought along with food. So anyhow, let's see.
Food while thoughting.
Yes, when you got some thoughting going on.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, the fullback packages, up to 30% of snaps with a fullback. I think that was very interesting. The other thing was, and this is what I really loved. You talk about running the wide zone. Okay, one of the things that he does with that, especially in the backside, you remember Mike Shanahan with the old cut the backside guy and stuff? You know?
Oh, yeah. They cut on the offensive line because they were undersized. I mean, they cut everybody. They were vicious with the cut.
Right. You can do some of that, but at the same time, you also got these waggles, reverse rollouts, your varied launch points. I love that because I think for a Kenny, for a Mason, either one of them, they could operate efficiently like that. For the offensive line, here's what I'm thinking. This is what I loved about it was the fact that when you combine the wide zone with the duos, okay, the man-blocking schemes, what I love is when you've got enough of a rushing attack where you get enough man blocking, you can be into the shorts of the defensive lineman over you before he realizes it's going to be a pass. You know what I mean? You come off the ball hard, get in there, and you're doing some steer wrestling with him, and then before you know it, the guy doesn't even realize it's a pass. That, to me, that's the way you run play action. When you're able to do that along with the wide zone reverse rollouts, because it takes a lot of pressure off of just sitting there and having a four-man, five-man, six-man assault on the castle drop back. You know what I mean?
Well, and you push the boundaries more, right, by doing that. And, you know, it takes the safeguards off. When you could get good, solid RPO options, it forces that defense to go laterally. And we all know every defense wants to go what? North and south at all times. So if you could create those lanes, move the pocket effectively, and like you said, take advantage of the waggles and the quarter rollout, reverse rollouts, where you have flow going one way, guys are trying to diagnose and trying to jump it. But it does start with having a solid run game for those aspects to work.
Unquestionably so. You know, the fact is, I like the personnel. I look at this, I go, you got the wide zone stuff. Okay, maybe that's not a big fit for Najee. He's more the man-blocking duo type stuff. But it sure as heck is good for Jalen. You know, if you're going to pair some of that duo wide zone stuff – I mean, you've got both horses that can run that. You pair that with some nice fullback type stuff, sometimes some 12 personnel, 13 personnel out there with three tight ends. Gadzooks, you could. There's a whole lot you can do if you're in an Arthur Smith offense, as I watched it unfold. There's just a lot of good stuff there. And I love how he emphasizes the physicality with effort and finish every play. Effort on every play, finish every play. And if you watch, go back and watch a little bit of Titans, the offense, that offensive line, remember that? We got the people up front that can do it. You know, we might have to bring in some other people in certain positions there for a couple of spots, but I'm telling you what, I like overall what we got. You got a tight end like Freiermuth that you can get a lot of targets to. He can stretch the front end, E-mall, you know, end man on the line there, on the wide zones. And at the same time, he can, you know, is very comfortable in running all the routes and everything. You got Darnell Washington, you know, also that you can use in that. So there's just a lot of personnel here that can fit into what Arthur Smith wants to do.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, the weapons, the cupboard is pretty full. It's got the rations, right?
Right, right.
You know, you have a good variety and a good gambit. Like you said, you know, if it is going through the air, if it is on the ground, but you just got to bolster that wall, right? You got to bolster that offensive line to make it all go. You know, Arthur Smith had the Taylor Lewans of the world, right? Big, nasty, physical finishers on that offensive line before that paved the way for the seasons that Derrick Henry had. And Broderick could be that young dog that has that bravado.
Right, right.
But it's not as ever paired. I mean, now granted, he had some moments where it was about to be flags because he was in dude's face. But I'm like, listen, how about you not get blasted and allow him a second opportunity at you because you're trying to stand up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's kind of where you're at. But I think Broderick has a touch of the nasty. It would be nice to have one more dog on that line with him to kind of supplement him, whether he's right tackle or going to move over to left tackle. But it is very intriguing when you think about it. And I thought it was pretty hilarious when one of the guys said, hey, you know, this is going to be, you know, an opportunity to see if the Steelers really can become a smash mouth football team. I forgot where I read that. But that is really what I want to see. I want to see, can we become that?
Oh,
and that would be beautiful, considering if you're a ball-possessing offense that can control the tempo and the cadence of the game, and then you're allowing your very adept and skilled defense to sit on the sidelines and be cheerleaders and drink Gatorade. It's always a good day.
Absolutely. Look, I love the physical nature of football. That's always got to be something that it needs. Every team needs to be, you know, have a level of physicality that the other teams will respect. And certainly when you watch this offense, in my mind, man, I love the fact that it's really based on a very aggressive, just come off the ball and you know, roll up your sleeves type of workmanlike attitude and getting after it. I love it because I think you can run some power and gap scheme stuff. You got the duo man blocking stuff and the wide zone. That's a lot. Now you start to run those slants and digs and curls. Those slant routes, man, I mean, anybody remember Pickens, you know, Deontay Johnson? I mean, you know, running those slant routes and going to the house. I love that stuff because when you can draw those linebackers in, you give the opportunity on that second level, third level, where you got that big hole. You know, you can draw those, suck those linebackers up and poemo, turn loose a Pickens or a Deontay Johnson just running hairy scary through the secondary. I love that opportunity.
Hairy scary through the secondary.
Ooh,
nursery rhyme okay. Book
yeah.
by Craig Wolfley coming out this offseason since he has nothing else to do.
I'm a poet and I don't even know it. I talk in rhyme
there
all the time.
Yeah, there it is.
Exactly. Oh, that's so bad. That's so bad.
but yeah, you're right. The slant, I mean, those are the slant and gones. Not
yes.
Even slant and go. That's slant and gones.
True.
For the skill sets of those two receivers. And listen, still, I think Cincinnati's still looking for Pat Freiermuth on the seam route.
Yeah.
They haven't found him yet.
They haven't found him yet.
Still sitting on the seam. But that is going to be very fun to watch and see it as it unfolds. And, you know, you'll be there live, especially with OTAs, and then we'll get it in force, so to speak, once we get to training camp next year. But excited about the prospect, excited about the opportunity to see really where Arthur Smith can take this offense and really start to mature it and start to get them in a position where not only do they get, you know, kind of guess that they can do it, but knowing that they can do it. That's a complete mind shift, and Arthur Smith's going to have his job cut out for him to get to that point.
All right. Biggest thing, let's give it a chance, folks. Absolutely. All right, it's the final lap on the final day. As Max comes in after this break, Wolf Starks and the Ninjas after this.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, this is the final bell lap. This is the final opportunity to take advantage of our early lunch warning system until the summertime. I hope that everybody has appreciated this early warning system. It took a lot of time to come up with this concept and to make sure that we had the right one available for Steelers Nation to take full advantage. If you hear that sound, you know, you should be thinking about foraging resources.
Already am. You know it, baby.
Oh yeah. Listen, that's why during the last break I went and I already preheated. You know, some of my favorite lunch items, aka dinner leftovers, in the microwave. So
I had a great beef and vegetable soup yesterday. I thought of you because I know you are the soup maniac. You are the soup Nazi.
So guess what I'm warming up right now, Wolf?
Soup, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, technically a stew, yes. It is a soup. It is a soup. It's
well, stew
a
is
green
nothing.
Chili stew.
Yeah, but it's nothing but a fat soup, right? I mean.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit heartier.
Yeah.
A little bit heartier.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, there's a green chili stew at Rudy's barbecue spot that I absolutely love and obsess with. So I had some of that yesterday. I didn't get to it because I did the baked potato with the barbecue on it for dinner last night.
Ooh,
and it was awesome with some chopped brisket and cheese and sour cream.
I love brisket is so good. You know, I mean, you kind of overlook it sometimes when you get around ribs. And also, you know, the burnt ends.
Goodness. Oh, listen. Give me burnt ends, or I'm going to need like a half a pound of moist cut.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about it. Forget about it. But, yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of where we are, part and parcel, right? I mean, this is what we do on the show. We talk football, we talk food, and then, of course, we talk, you know, pop culture, life, and everything in between. You know, thank you, squirrels. And I've been actually.
That's what concussions do for you.
They do. I mean, we can, like I said, we have the gift of gab, Wolf. I think you also have that superpower as well. You have that superpower. It's just the cookies are a little bit more overpowering.
They are. You know, they draw me. You know, it's like I said, I don't even have to work at it. It's just a gift.
Yeah, it just is. It's like, well, yep, here we are. Here we are again. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah. Who's
that? Yeah, exactly.
Is that Crosby, Stills, and Nash? No, who is that, Wes?
Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, yeah.
Superpower.
There we go.
Look just clicked that. On my superpower there real quick.
Yep.
He did. He was testing you. Wes was ready.
Yeah, I was confused.
Don't make me start singing the boxer over here, all right?
please. No. But, you know, I think about it, Wolf, as I look back, kind of, you know, I feel like final thoughts on the season and where it started, where it ended. What were your final thoughts?
Great promises come out, and of course San Francisco kind of ruined the whole startup thing. But the fact was the long journey continued on until we got to a situation where with Kenny, you know, being injured and so forth, and then Mason stepping in after the run on the inside linebackers and the safeties and all that stuff, still being able to navigate their way through. The Steelers come through another non-losing season, which I know there's a lot of people that have angst about that. I don't, because anytime I know what the goal is, but I also know that you fall short of goals at times, you know, but you have to have something that you freaking strive for. Right? If you got nothing that you set as a standard, then what are you trying to achieve? You have nowhere to go with it. So the fact is, I look at it, you tried, there were some mitigating circumstances. Mason, it was absolutely a quarter of the season of magnificence there. It was great to see. Good for him. And this is a situation where you discovered a good, you know, double-headed rushing attack that has got something going with it. Defense, again, there's a lot of promises with Keanu and JP Jr. There's just, again, a lot of guys that I think if we have another draft class that able to contribute like last year, we could have something good going here, buddy.
Be competitive for years to come. You're absolutely right. And I think, you know, for me, it was inspiring at the beginning. And then, like you said, things kind of derailed and life and inexperience kind of took hold. But this was a team that I never thought would ever quit.
No.
And they proved me right, right?
Absolutely.
They never quitted, even with, like you said, all the mitigating circumstances, all of the carousel of injuries that happened in just successive, if not moments, but successive weeks. And for the Steelers to, while taking on water, be able to bail it out, right, with a pail. And – you know, when you thought it was the bleakest, where they weren't going to make a playoff, there was way too much other help that was needed. No, the right amount of help was applied at the right moment. So you have to just relish the fact that, man, this team really, I felt, overachieved for all intents and purposes. And I know there's no moral victory crown for this, but like you said, the way that down to a man just about handled the adversity that was going on towards the latter part of the season, the beginning of December, to be able to manage that emotionally, compartmentalize it, and move forward, and then have the finish that they had to make that run at a playoff berth was just spectacular. And I look forward to the future. Like you said, looking forward to seeing how a Keanu Benton fits into the picture moving forward. How a Darnell Washington, how a Jordan Porter Jr., Broderick Jones. You know, there's just so many different things. Nick Herbig, you know, and what he's going to command in another year as far as opportunities and rotations and different situational football. Like, there's so many things to be happy about and to be looking forward to on the precipice on both sides of the ball. And I think that's a mark of a team, I feel like, that's now starting to rise again.
No question about it. And I just want to take this last moment to thank all of Steelers Nation for tuning in, for everybody that, you know, we've talked to, and that, you know, the locker room is just a big room for everybody. And we so appreciate folks joining in. We couldn't do this without you. You guys are just the best. And I most humbly and graciously say thank you so much for all the goodness you've extended towards me and towards Max and Wes, so, and CJ. we got the ninjas in there, so thank you to all the ninjas, too.
That was awesome. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, Steelers Nation, we're nothing without you, right? I mean,
there you go.
You are the reason why we do what we do. We enjoy coming into this job every single day and just trying to present the same headlines, the same commentary, but with a different perspective. And we hope that you've appreciated. Obviously, we've gotten a lot of love on social media about this for those that tune in live. We appreciate your input, all the callers this year that have contributed to our show and that have come on and, you know, presented some very awesome facts as well. Love hearing from, you know, we have some very informed fans, and that also makes it really a delight to work with as well, right? You're not dealing with as much irrational thoughts and ponderings, but a lot of them are well thought out, And so we do appreciate all of you that have called in throughout the year. And like I said, you know, the opportunity to work with you, Craig, is a blessing and a fortunate thing. And I get to work with two wolves, so I'm doubly blessed and spoiled from that perspective. Of course, Wes, my main man, I mean, you know, my pop culture, you know, sounding board. And, you know, I love everything you've done, you know, coming on as a producer this year and being in here with us, Wes, just a tremendous asset. We know you wear a lot of hats, but I appreciate the hat that you wear on this show with us and dealing with us. And also, you know, he's the guy in the bullpen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if either one of us can't show up because of commitments, Wes, you've always been right there, spot on, Johnny on the spot. And yes, we do pitch to Johnny, and I will never forget about pitching to Johnny.
Pitch to Johnny? You can't pitch to Johnny. I'm Johnny.
Absolutely. We're always going to pitch to Johnny when we get a chance. There's no other Johnny I'd rather have in our corner, so I appreciate you very much, Wes.
Thanks, fellas. Always a blast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love you, Max. All right. Love you, Wes.
Hey.
CJ,
hey,
love you, buddy. Love to all.
Yep. CJ, thank you as well. And, of course, the sensei, Brian LaMartina. We love you, man. Thanks for always giving us the leeway and the leash that we have to have as much fun as possible inside the locker room. So with that, we bid you guys not just farewell, just a see you later, because we will be back on these airways, God willing, for next season. Yeah, and we want to encourage you continue to follow him. He's at Craig Wolfley, at Wesley Euler. I'm at MaxStark78. We definitely want to interact throughout the year because there will be other opportunities. We'll be doing stuff. It just won't be in this capacity. So make sure you go make it a great day, make it a great weekend, and we'll see you next season.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.